It's not enough to just love God. You must love the church. The Bible says Christ died for the church. You want to know how much he loves the church? He died for it. And anybody who says, well, I love Jesus, I just don't need the church, doesn't get it. They're an immature believer. A lot of people use the church but don't love it. Do you?
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Most of the time, when you think of passing on a legacy, you think of leaving something to your loved ones. Money, a classic car, your home, jewelry, or maybe a family heirloom. Those are all nice things, but no thing lasts forever. Wouldn't you like to leave behind an inheritance that lasts into eternity? As we come to the last couple of days in our series called Leaving a Lasting Legacy, Pastor Rick shares with us six indispensable biblical principles you need to pass on to the next generation to ensure their spiritual success. Your legacy that will last into eternity. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Living by Your Convictions.
Notice this verse on the screen. The Bible says God wanted to have many children share his glory. Now think about this. In the first conviction, we said it all exists for the glory of God. And yet God says, I'm going to create a family. It's going to be called the church. And I'm going to take it with me into heaven. And then you are going to share my glory for eternity. Whoa, that is almost mind-boggling. It is so unbelievably expansive. God says, you're going to share my glory for eternity. In fact, the Bible says even the angels are amazed at this because the angels aren't in the family of God. They didn't have a choice. They don't have free will like humans do. And the Bible says this in Ephesians 3:10, through Christians like yourselves gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. And the angel's going, whoa, can you believe what God did? He created the whole universe just because he knew some human beings would choose to love him and they could be a part of his family. That is an amazing, amazing story. God says, I created the church to last forever. Now, personally, I am giving my entire life to serve the church. To serve this church, Saddleback, and to serve other churches around the world, because it's not just our church. And I'm always asking two questions. They're always going through my mind, almost 24 hours a day. What's best for Saddleback Church? And what's best for other churches? That matters more to me than anything else in the world. What's best for Saddleback Church and what's best for other churches? And our staff, we don't just serve this church, but all of our staff tithes their time. That means 10% of our time goes to help other churches because we're not in this just for our church. And so our staff gives their time to serve other churches. And over the years, we've trained over 400,000 pastors from 163 countries. Nothing else is going to last. You know, we built this ministry called Purpose Driven, and it began to minister to all these different groups and people, and all of a sudden Purpose Driven got so big, it started becoming an organization on its own. And we never intended for that. We never intended for Purpose Driven to be a brand. It's just an idea. We said, wait a minute, we don't want to create a parish organization. We're all about the church. And so this last year, we shut all that stuff down and brought the staff back into our church. And took all of the functions of what Purpose for Driven is doing and brought them back into Saddleback Church. And we're doing it through there, continuing to minister to pastors. Why? Because it's the church that's going to last, nothing else. Now, what is the implication for you personally? Okay, I'm talking about this on a bigger scale. What's the implication for you personally that the only thing that's going to last is the church? Well, it means this. Since we're all going to live together forever, we better get along. Here's the idea. Since we're all together in the church and we're going to live together, then what we need to do is I must love the family of God too. It's not enough to just love God. You must love the church. The Bible says Christ died for the church. You want to know how much he loves the church? He died for it. And anybody who says, well, I love Jesus, I just don't need the church, doesn't get it. They're an immature believer. A lot of people use the church but don't love it. Do you? Do you love the church, or you just use the church? Now, I don't know if you noticed this, but you probably did at Thanksgiving, that no family is perfect. Right? Okay? And you probably noticed at Thanksgiving time that every family has its own peculiar dysfunctions. Everybody's got their Uncle Otto, you know? Don't look at him right now, you know? But you know, in spite of the imperfections in your family, you gotta love them. The same is true with the family of God. There is no perfect church. We're all imperfect people, and so how could you get a bunch of imperfect people to make a perfect church? There is no perfect church, never will find one. But you gotta love it. And the fact is, love is more important than anything else. When you're family, you stick up for your family. You don't criticize them out in public, you stick up for your family. Now, I don't know this, but why? But it's sad. Some Christians and even some preachers spend all their time criticizing other Christians or spend all their time criticizing other churches. And it seems to me that a lot of them tend to congregate on the radio. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. But they get on the radio and all they do is spend all their time criticizing other Christians or criticizing other churches. Well, that's not right. That's not right at all. You see, love is more important than personal differences in the family of God. Love is more important than political differences. I know some people who are Christians, and their first question to you is not, are you a Christian, but are you a Republican? And actually, your personal view on politics is more important than your view of Christ to them. The Bible says that style is not as important as love, personality is not as important as love, even doctrinal differences aren't as important as love. If you love Jesus, we're on the same team. We're not in competition with any other church. If they love Jesus, I don't care what the label is, we're in the same family. And we're all together. And God hates it when we argue with each other. In fact, look what the Bible says here in 1 Timothy. Don't let people waste time in endless speculations over myths and spiritual pedigrees. He's talking about minor doctrinal differences between this group of Christians and this group of Christians and this group. Don't waste your time on that. For these things only cause arguments. They don't help people live a life of faith in God. And Paul says, the purpose of my instruction. Now, Paul's going to tell you the reason for preaching. He says, here's purpose-driven preaching. The purpose of my teaching, my instruction, is that all the Christians would be filled with love. That's what the purpose of preaching is, to fill Christians with love. That comes from three things, a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere faith. Paul says the purpose of teaching the Word of God is not knowledge, it's that you learn how to love. And that love comes out of a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere faith. He goes on to say, but some teachers have missed the whole point. They've turned away from these things and spend their time arguing and talking foolishness. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. When you were a kid, did your parents enjoy watching the kids argue? No. Did they like it then? Did they encourage you to fight among yourselves? Not hardly. Those of you parents, do you enjoy it when your kids fight? No. And neither does God. In fact, did you know, this is going to blow your mind, that five times in the New Testament, Christians are forbidden to argue with each other? Not once. Five times in the New Testament, Christians are forbidden to argue with each other. He said, don't do it. I want you to be unified. I want you to be harmonized. I want you to be in one love together. Let me just give you one example. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Brothers and sisters, I appeal to you by the authority of the Lord Jesus to stop arguing among yourselves. Let there be real harmony so there won't be any divisions in the church. No divisions. I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. You see, we're never going to get everybody to agree on style, get everybody to agree on music, or even get everybody to agree on doctrine. He says, be of one mind in purpose.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
It's no secret that the spiritual and moral foundation that built our country is crumbling to the core. Our nation is deteriorating, and many people are without hope. We need a dramatic awakening in our nation to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across our country and around the globe. That's why we want to invite you to work shoulder to shoulder with us in bringing our nation back from the brink by investing monthly as a partner in hope. Your sustained monthly support will help us continue to broadcast the life-transforming message of the gospel across our nation, on the air and online. And to say thanks when you give monthly to Daily Hope, Rick has asked us to send you a signed copy of the hardback gift edition of his devotional book, Daily Inspiration for the Purpose-Driven Life. So if you feel led to become a partner in hope, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004 today. Or by visiting rickwarren.org. That's rickwarren.org. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
1 Corinthians 1:10. Brothers and sisters, I appeal to you by the authority of the Lord Jesus to stop arguing among yourselves. Let there be real harmony, so there won't be any divisions in the church. No divisions. I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. You see, we're never going to get everybody to agree on style, get everybody to agree on music, or even get everybody to agree on doctrine. He says, be of one mind in purpose. It is the purposes of God and the purposes of the church that will unify the church. Now, God loves unity because he gets glory when his children get along with each other, when they love each other, when they're in harmony with each other. And God hates disunity. In fact, he judges people that cause division and conflict and criticism and arguing within the church. He makes it very clear through the New Testament. Do you know that when Jesus was betrayed by Judas, the night before he went to be crucified on the cross, he's in the garden praying. He's thinking about the cross the next day. You know what he prayed about most? Not the suffering he was going to go through. He prayed what he cared about most. And that prayer is in John 17. It's an entire chapter. And the prayer is a prayer for unity. He says, Father, I want my people to be one. I want my family to be one. I want the church to be unified and one and in harmony and not criticizing each other, not arguing with each other. May they be one. The world will be one, W-O-N, when the church is one, O-N-E. And he prayed that. It was the most important thing on the heart of God, was that his family be unified. Now, what is the opposition when on this second conviction, that it is the church that must be unified together and must be in harmony? What is the opposition? Well, it's anybody who criticizes other Christians and creates conflict. The Bible says this in Romans 16, verse 17. Look out for those who cause people to be against each other and who upset other people's faith. They are against the true teaching that you learn, so stay away from them. In fact, not only do you stay away from them, here's what God tells pastors to do. Look at the next verse here on the screen. Titus 3:10, warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time, and after that, have nothing to do with him. That's how serious God takes Christians who criticize other Christians and are creating conflict and division. You see, instead of criticizing each other, God wants us to be thanking God for each other. He wants us to be thanking, first, that we're saved, and second, that we're in his family. Paul says it like this on the screen, Romans 1:8. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because the whole world is hearing about your faith. You know, friends, if there's any church in the world that verse is true about right now, it's Saddleback. I maybe have been in 25 countries this year, and everywhere I go, people say, where are you from? Saddleback. Oh, your faith is being heard about all around the world. Really, all around the world. And when I'm on the road, or when I'm here, or when I'm studying, I'm always thanking God for you. And I'm thanking God for you going, Lord, thank you for a church that loves you and loves each other and is trying to model what it means to be peacemakers instead of conflict makers. Now, here's the first conviction. I must love God with all my heart. Second conviction, I must love every Christian, regardless of what they believe or say or whatever, because they're part of my family. Number three, God expects me to love everybody else too. Now, I don't know if you see the pattern here, but it's all about love. You see, life is not about the acquisition of things. It's not about achievement. It's not about popularity. It's about learning how to love. And if you miss that, you've missed the lesson of life. God is love. And he says the most important thing is love me. The second most important thing he says is this, on your outline, Mark chapter 12. The second most important commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment more important than these two, loving God and loving other people. Now he says, love your neighbors yourself. Now the natural question is, who's my neighbor? Well, that's not a new question. It was asked right after Jesus said this. And Jesus told a very famous story called the story of the Good Samaritan. That story was told to answer the question, who's my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Well, I'll tell you, the short answer is everybody. Everybody's your neighbor. There's nobody you're not allowed to not love. You're allowed to not love on the earth. But there's a specific answer, and that is when he told the story of the Good Samaritan, the person who was most least likely to love showed the love to the person most least likely to get it. So here's the point. Your neighbor is the people you are least likely to love. Now, who is that? You've probably never thought about this. Who am I least likely to love? Well, I'll tell you, there are three categories. You might write these down. These are the three categories of people you're least likely to love, and yet God says you gotta love them. Number one, people who are different. We don't tend to love people who are different from us. Different background, different language, different religion, different faith, different culture, different beliefs. We don't naturally tend to love people who are different from us. Second, people who are difficult. Difficult people are difficult to love. People who are rude, people who monopolize the conversation, people who are selfish, they're impatient, they're disrespecting or demeaning, or maybe you've got a boss who's arrogant and takes advantage of you. It's difficult to love difficult people. And number three, people who are dangerous. When I talk about dangerous people, I'm talking about abusers, rapists, molesters, terrorists, criminals, people who want to hurt you. And the Bible says, though, this is radical. The Bible says God so loved the world. Now, who is left out in that phrase? The world means everybody, even the people who are difficult and people who are dangerous and people who are different. God so loved the world. God's love is the most radical kind of love in the world. He loves everybody because his love is not based on their performance, thank God. It's based on who God really is. Now, it's easy to love people who agree with you. It's easy to love people who are cool. But God says, I want you to take it even further. And Jesus always pushes the envelope in teaching us about love. In fact, he says this, next verse. Love your enemies. Oh, come on, Lord. You got to be kidding me.
Pastor Rick Warren with a powerful look at what it means to leave a lasting legacy. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to rickwarren.org and listen online anytime or download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. That's rickwarren.org. Pastor Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. It's no secret that the spiritual and moral foundation that built our country is crumbling to the core. Our nation is deteriorating, and many people are without hope. We need a dramatic awakening in our nation to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across the country and around the globe. That's why we want to invite you to work shoulder to shoulder with us in bringing our nation back from the brink by investing monthly as a partner in hope. Your sustained monthly support will help us continue to broadcast the life-transforming message of the gospel across our nation, on the air and online. And to say thanks when you give monthly to Daily Hope, Pastor Rick has asked us to send you a signed copy of the hardback gift edition of his devotional book, Daily Inspiration for the Purpose-Driven Life. So if you feel led to become a partner in hope, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004 today. Or by visiting www.rickwarren.org. That's rickwarren.org. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope will help us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. And now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Did you know that the Bible promises that wherever God sends His word out, it will always produce results? It's a promise. It's a promise in Isaiah 55:11, where God says, "When I send my word out, it always produces fruit. It always accomplishes what I want it to, and it prospers everywhere I send it." That's in the Living Bible. I love that passage, and this is why we do what we do here at Daily Hope. We're constantly sending out God's word to give hope to people who have no hope, and to tell them about the love and the hope of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we couldn't do this without your support. It's your prayers, it's your financial support that helps God send His word across the country and all around the world through Daily Hope broadcasts. You know, God has really blessed this ministry, and we say to Him be the glory, but we still have many more people to reach. There are over 7 billion people in the world, and every one of them needs to know Jesus Christ. Many of them have never even heard the name of Jesus. And so this is our faith goal. You know, we started Daily Hope Ministry because we want to reach what we call the unreached, unengaged people groups. That's the about 3,000 remaining tribes in the world that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. And there's still about 3,000 tribes where the name of Jesus has not been proclaimed. How do we get there? By taking this broadcast to what we call near neighbors and encouraging them to then go in and reach those people, we hope to one day finish and help complete the Great Commission as doing our part with everybody else who's doing their part to follow the command of Christ. As we tell others about the love of Jesus, God helps us to trust Him even more. And of course, the Bible says, the more you help others, the more God blesses you. And so thank you for your gifts. I know that God is blessing you and will continue to bless you as you bless others. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Just want you to know that I love you. I thank God for you. I care for you. And I'm praying for you. God bless you.
If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across the country and around the globe. So if you feel led to become a partner in hope, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004 or by visiting www.rickwarren.org. Your gift as a partner in hope will help us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.